Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour is being brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto, online at CarX.com.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
And 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Trips left, tight to the formation. Single to the right side for Justin Fields. Brings Mooney now in orbit motion around him as he fakes the handoff. Going to throw down the seam and it's intercepted.
There are certain things that are going to jump out on film where you're like, oh, wow, that guy's wide open. But it kind of a nuanced perspective because he might be wide open, but there's also, you know, three different reasons that a quarterback's eyes wouldn't be there. And that's what I think is the challenge with this kid. It's not necessarily, hey, you know, did you get every single guy who's open? Because no quarterback on planet Earth does. But it's, did you get him the ball when he's in your progression?
In the last couple of weeks, the listeners to the Bernstein and Holmes show have fallen in love with Tim Jenkins, and for good reason. He does incredible breakdowns. You should follow him on Twitter at TJenkinsElite. He is the founder, CEO, and QB coach of Jenkins Elite, and he joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book.
We also have a little breaking Bears injury news since we're here.
Okay.
Hi, Tim. We also want you to know the breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
What we got?
Not good news. Not good news. The Bears have placed left guard Cody Whitehair on injured reserve.
Okay, so he's on IR, and we'll see if he is designated to return. They'll reevaluate him, I'm guessing, in 4 weeks.
4 weeks. And then N'Keal Harry is going to return from IR, where he's been since the day after initial roster cuts. That's
maybe
from Courtney Cronin.
Maybe that is good news because it gives Justin Fields a bigger target and another target to go and do things. Tim, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
I'm pumped up. I'm always excited to join, like, right when there's breaking news, too, right? So that I can try to give my opinion on that right away.
Well, the Bears have had issues on the offensive line. And before we get into specifically what's going on with Justin Fields, I'm curious on what you're seeing from the protection for Justin Fields and the Bears' offensive line.
Yeah, so one of the notes I walked away from this game is they got to get ready because people are going to blitz them like crazy because the Giants got home so much. And the other thing, which is kind of more of a technical change, we've got to get out of what we call like center head pop. So you got the Bears, what they're doing is their center looks between his legs, right? He waits for Justin to pick his leg up. This is when they're on the road. When Justin picks his leg up, boom, he pops up his head and he snaps the ball. That is not good with a rookie, or not a rookie, but a young quarterback, because the center missed at least two blitz pickups from depth, meaning, hey, we had a Mike coming from at least 4 yards, right, that we didn't account for, because guess where our eyes are before the snap? They're under our legs, right? So we need our center to have his hand up. They need to transition to what's called like a guard tap that you guys see a lot of, where the guard is actually the person looking back, and then he taps the center. So that's like a technical note that the Bears have to change when they're on the road, because we had two run-throughs that were unacceptable. Losing a left guard sucks because they're already losing one-on-one matchups right now up front. I do want to say this, is there were two times on tape that Justin started to scramble when the pocket was clean, and he ran into pressure. So those are the kind of things where it's like, you know, naturally as a quarterback, you probably start to feel like, okay, I got someone on me, when really I don't, because you've been under duress all day. So the protection, I do think, you know, the first time I came on here, we talked a lot about what do the Eagles do different? Well, they do a lot of run and play action. And honestly, we saw a lot of that against the Giants, and we were efficient with it. The Bears were. And I do think they were protecting pretty well in that run and play action aspect of it. So I do think they're protecting him better than when we first started talking, right? 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. So I do think the protection's better. Losing their left guard definitely hurts.
Tim, what do you think, though, about the fact that the passes that Fields was able to complete, and I point out, say, the bomb to Darnell Mooney for 56 yards in the first half.
Yep.
That's max protect. They're only sending two receivers there. He's getting a lot of help. Most of the protection that he had for his completions was when there was a guard center double team on one singular down lineman. So I do think there is an issue there when it comes to how he's reading based on what he knows is in front of him on the line.
Yeah, I think, well, I think it's a little, I have a little different take on that of that. I think a lot of them, so when you just have max protect, right, and you have the two guys in the routes, you're in pure progression. We talked about this last week, week before. Pure progression is when no matter what, hey, I'm reading from the post is my first route. Boom, I'm getting my deep over. That's my second route if you're a max pro, right? Usually you're going to sneak the back out after, and that would be our third progression. My take on it is I don't think it has anything to do with if they're in max protect or not, and I think it has a lot to do with the plays that they're in pure progression. PFF needs a stat of what is a quarterback's completion percentage when he's in pure progression versus PSL, because Justin Fields would be, in my opinion, completing like 70% of his passes right now when he has a pure progression look. I don't know if you guys remember, there was a big third down throw he had on a crosser late in the game. It was in the third quarter. He hits the crosser, right? The slot receiver's on a crosser, you know, he's crossing the field. It's a pure progression play. He starts with his eyes to what we would call a Harvey route, which is where you get 15 yards and then right back down your stem. So a curl is towards the quarterback, comeback's toward the sideline. Harvey, boom, we come right down our stem. Harvey's not there, boom, he resets his feet and he drills the crosser. The reason he was playing so efficient there was a pure progression play. Let's fast forward, or not fast forward, but rewind to the first quarter, their first red zone trip, okay? He hangs on, he's trying to throw the corner route, okay? We end up taking a sack, which stinks, right? Or he doesn't take a sack, but he throws it out the back of the end zone. Well, that's a PSL, meaning, hey, pick your side, right? Dealer's choice based on what you think matchup-wise. And guess who was open? The other corner. Well, it doesn't make sense to have this kid who we're trying to get caught up to the NFL like every young quarterback is, and then we're throwing PSLs to him in the red zone, but in between the 20s, we've got him working pure progressions like you talked about, the Mooney shot for 56 yards, and then we hit the crosser. We hit that very first, I want to say it was either first or second play of the game, the 20-yard read route that sits over the ball. He comes alive and rips a BB, right? So to me, there's a lot of stuff where when we have this kid, and we know, hey, man, we want you ripping pure progressions, that he does a great job. It's those PSLs that I just think we got to – you're not going to get rid of every single one of them, but we have to minimize it if he's going to be effective in the near term.
Tim, I want to talk about the play in the red zone where we see Darnell Mooney be open and Fields doesn't see him. But before I get your thoughts on it, I want you to hear what Matt Eberflus said about that play, and then – I'm curious on what your take is going to be after you take a listen to this.
Yeah, that's a very basic play. You know, that's just, you know, vertical, you know, four vertical play. You know, and Mooney that on that one's actually supposed to be bending across the formation, you know. He's supposed to be bending across. He wasn't supposed to go vertical. So I think that kind of caught him off guard a little bit. But he certainly had time on that. Yeah, he certainly had time and could have rode the pocket there a little bit more. But he decided to take it because what we were telling him is that to take the check down or run on that when they're in that defense.
Okay, so there's a bigger problem here that we should address at some point about Darnell Mooney and how many times already this year that he's talked about running the wrong route. But before we get to that, I understand the concept of Justin maybe short-circuiting a little bit because Mooney runs the wrong route, and by the time he puts it together that there's an open player there, he just goes out the back door and just says, screw it, I'm just going to try and run and get these yards because this is all screwed up. I'm curious on how you would teach that. Like, how would you use that as a teaching video for Justin to keep his eyes down the field even if a guy is running the wrong route?
Yeah, it's such a great – it's a really good answer from Coach. So here's my take on it, right? When you have a receiver who busts his route, it depends on how bad it is, right? So what he's talking about is the guy's supposed to be bending across the field and instead he keeps it vertical. Well, there's our vertical spacing, right? So it's gone. So in terms of that specific decision, like in a vacuum, good decision to get in a scramble drill, right? And I'm guessing what he was saying was when they were in that defense, I'm guessing they were telling him any sort of man coverage, feel free to run, because guess what? When they're in man, back is to you, right? So Justin can go and create and make a play. So I'm guessing that's what factored into that specific decision. In terms of the teaching tape for Justin, I'm going to be honest with you, there isn't one, right? The teaching tape is you put that up in the team meeting and you MF Mooney, because you're costing everyone by deciding to try to get open, right? And obviously I'm talking from a quarterback's perspective who has been burned by this a lot and gets super salty about it. But as a receiver, when you're covered, someone else is open. The point isn't to get you open on every play. The point is to get someone in the play, right? We are a team. It's a team game. You can't just make adjustments. So in terms of, like, can Justin learn from bust routes? Yes, but it depends on what it is. An example of that would be if instead of being in 3-by-1 four verts, or, hey, where you're supposed to bend across the formation, if it was just 2-by-2 and instead of taking a vertical, he were to sit, not as impactful on the play. Still matters, but not as impactful. So what we would want Justin to do there is speed read it, which means, hey, okay, you see that he busted, automatically get off him and speed to your second, right? Get to your second progression, or if Mooney was second, get to your third, whatever it be, speed read, skip him. So those are kind of the way you would coach that. But honestly, like, the biggest thing is you need to address it in the receiver room first, right? The first time someone messes up, address it internally in their position group. The second time you have it, you need to, in the team meeting, flip that thing up as one of the five clips, and you've got to get after somebody and make sure this never happens again.
I want to zoom out a little bit here to not just what happens after the snap, but pre-snap. Because yep. I feel like what we're talking about a lot right now is based on what your defense gives you. It's during the play. But how much of this can be mitigated pre-snap? Because you hear about quarterbacks saying they know where they're going to go with that ball. They have a plan pre-snap. It's only when they have to adjust do they make the other adjustments.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think a lot of that has to do with how early they are in this offense. So, you know, if you look at Rodgers, right? Rodgers, the pre-snap king, right? Whether they, hey, kick motion across and he gets man zone, they put the back out, whatever it be for them to get man zone indicators. And, you know, he's the king of, hey, I'm going to eliminate these two, get to my third progression. But that wasn't even happening for him, Aaron Rodgers at the time, Super Bowl champion, when they switched to a similar style offense, right? Early on with LaFleur. So to me, it's like, yeah, I would love to get him to where he is, you know, hey, okay, this guy's dead pre-snap, or this is where I got to go pre-snap. The reality is when, you know, we have Russell Wilson struggling with it in Denver right now. We had Rodgers struggle with it. When we have Super Bowl champion guys who have been in the league for 10 years struggling with pre-snap processing in a new system, it's dang near impossible for me to then get on here and tell you guys, you know who needs to do it though? A kid who's in his second or third year in the league, right? Like, those are guys that we're just trying to make sure their eyes are in the right spot post-snap. We're trying to make sure, you know, we don't have these protection busts. Like, you know, the run-through that we had protection-wise is on the center, but it's also on Justin because if Justin's setting the protection, he didn't turn them the right way. Meaning, you know, hey, we're either sliding right or sliding left, and then you get a 3-on-2 or 4-on-3 depending on how you slide. So, yeah, I would love to get him to that point. The reality is I don't think that happens in this first year with the offense. I think that would be something that we would have to circle back to come week 3, week 4 next year. If we're not getting rid of guys pre-snap, then it's a giant issue.
But I also want to ask you a follow-up to that as well. And the reason I ask it is because, did you see the play? It was a safety blitz against the Texans where in that game, it was a fourth quarter, Fields motions for Cole Kmet, who was covering Petrie, the safety at the time, who ended up coming in off the blitz unchecked. At that point, those two are facing against each other. So theoretically, Petrie's covered. Fields motions for Kmet to go to the other side. So that's motion. Then Petrie's left unchecked. Depending on which offense, it's either your center calling protection or that's your quarterback. That's a sack. We're talking about that more if Roquan Smith doesn't have the pick six that helps seal the game. In that instance, what did you see and whose responsibility is that supposed to be as far as another pre-snap recognition? And we're talking about blitz here. I think that situation might come up again.
Yeah, a lot of it's going to be, I mean, I think that's a great question for the coach of, hey, who is your mic declaration? Because whoever's setting the mic and setting protection in this offense is in reality accountable for that person. And then usually it's a back scan. So if you're talking about safeties or corners, it's usually a back. you know, hey, bat, you know, the back is going to sand is going to scan from our Sam to strong safety to corner, right? Like, you know, hey, we call them like force or like four players, like, hey, you know, four being the secondary, if they come weak or they come strong, that's going to be a back scanning to them. So in reality, you know, specific plays in terms of, hey, you know, hey, we kick the motion, one safety rolls and the other safety walks up and, you know, he's near the line. He ends up being the guy who comes free, likely a back that missed the pickup or likely on Justin for not realizing that the strong safety and Sam were additional add-ins on the same play.
I wanted to ask you about the defense. I know that you're our quarterback guy, but I know how you watch tape. I'm terrified of what might happen to the Bears this week against the Vikings because of how effectively teams have been able to run play action and boot action against them. And when I look at the offensive weapons that the Vikings have, knowing that they have a really good back in Dalvin Cook and two great receivers, I can see Kirk Cousins eating off of that all day with those guys. What went wrong and why did it take so long for the Bears to correct where their eyes were when it came to the way that Daniel Jones was using a ball fake?
Man, that's such a good point too with the Vikings coming up. Listen, the Vikings are a real threat too, what you're saying, because of who they now have as their head coach and the way he schemes stuff up. And week one, you know, when the Vikings, their coming out party against the Packers was like insane, right? I do think it's really hard to coach. The Bears are a run-first offense. So let's talk about when we're doing best-on-best at practice. The Bears are a run-first offense right now, and I agree with the decision to be a run-first offense. As a defender, when in your building we're run-first, it's really hard to not respect the run in run action and play action, right? So that's where it's like, I do think Chicago's especially susceptible because, like, their offensive identity is built around running the football. So then you're used to seeing that, right, week in and week out from your offense. So then you tend to play the run first even more. The biggest way to mitigate it is probably going to be formationally, right? I have to imagine Minnesota, I don't have any numbers on this, but I have to imagine like every offense, they have some plays that, you know, their play action percentage is higher out of this formation than their actual run game. And then from there, it's making smart bets and realizing like, listen, man, if I'm a little late to the hole, it cost me 4 yards, where if I'm a little late to getting under the hook against Justin Jefferson, he can go ahead and catch that thing at 12 and house it, right? So that's where, as a D coordinator, you really have to make sure these guys, formation recognition will be more important this week than it probably will be, you know, for them until they see maybe the Packers again or whenever they circle back to the Vikings. So it's a valid point of what they're going to have to face, and I would tell you the only way they can really mitigate it is through, you know, formation recognition and then playing the percentages smartly in terms of what is their actual run game percentage versus play action and run action when they're in this formation.
Tim, as always, we really appreciate it. We learn so much when you're on the air, and the listeners appreciate it as well. Thank you so much.
I appreciate y'all. Y'all are the best.
That's Tim Jenkins. If you want to follow him on Twitter, you can follow him at TJenkinsElite. And I highly recommend that you do because he breaks down the film and he'll put it up on Twitter. He's been a great addition. What a find by Ray to get Tim Jenkins on this show. And the way that people listen and react to it, I think it's great inside of Twitch and just on our text lines. The White Sox lineup is out. Jose Abreu is not in it. We are going to talk a little bit of Illini and White Sox because guess what? Jeremy Warner, also a White Sox fan.
Oh, man.
Uh-huh. So we will talk with him about that and the good start that the Illini find themselves on. We will do that next here on The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Relationships that get built, they matter. There's a reason the fan base was upset. If Brett Bielema wasn't one of the great coaches in program history, then no one would have minded when he left. He brought his team here and got the victory today. And as you know, I have my own individual memories with Brett Bielema as he recruited me to Iowa. And he's had a relationship with my family over the years. You know, Lisa, I lost my father a couple of months ago. Today would have been my dad's 82nd birthday. I know he is smiling and enjoying the fact that one of his favorite coaches, one of his favorite people, Brett Bielema, was able to get a win today and be congratulating the alignment.
That's a poignant moment from our guy, Big Ant Heron, as per usual, talking about the Illini and their win against Wisconsin on Big Ten Network. And it wasn't just a win. Like, they dominated that game and they dominated Wisconsin. The Illini are off to a really good start. So that gives us an excuse to talk to our friend Jeremy Warner, who does a great job publishing the Illini Inquirer. It's part of 24/7 Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at jwarner247. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, some of the world's largest sports book. Sir, how are you?
This is weird, Lawrence. I don't know what to do right now, covering a team that's relevant, heading into October, mid-October, in a Big Ten West race. I don't know. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know either. And by the way, it's Lawrence and Layla today. Dan is off today. Before we ask you about the Illini, I know that you got some White Sox thoughts that you'd like to get off, so get them White Sox thoughts off.
All right, so they get off the hook with the Tony La Russa thing. Why are we not having a front office change? I like Rick Hahn personally, but what has given us faith there, Lawrence? That's my question. It's a huge offseason for him, right? He built a roster. He rebuilt it really well. Changing over that roster to have a talented core like that, but it's just not a very good baseball team. The staff is good. There's some talent in the position players, but we're so bad at running the bases. We're so bad at defense. I'm just very fascinated to see how he maneuvers to change us from not being bad at those baseball things that you need to be good at.
I agree with you. I think this is step two now. Like, you're supposed to try to contend. It's all fun and games and everybody's coming up. But now you got to separate the, as Jason Kidd said, the professionals from the taxpayers. Just go with it. Jeremy, I find this Illinois-Wisconsin game entertaining on so many levels, but the most obvious one being Paul Chryst was an excellent coach. two-time Big Ten Coach of the Year, 67-26 overall record. He's a native son. And I feel like the Illini doing what they did with Brett Bielema made the University of Wisconsin make a permanent decision based on a really painful temporary feeling.
Yeah, I was shocked. I had a guy, Jim Polson, who covers the Badgers for the Wisconsin State Journal on our podcast last week. And you know, he kept talking about how, you know, Paul Chris might be in the hot seat. And I was like, wait, what? I thought he was doing a pretty good job there. I understood last year was disappointing for them. And I understood they were off to a bad start, but I just didn't think the temperature was that high. I thought maybe at the end of the year, if they're 7-5, maybe they're looking at, you know, is this the guy for our long-term future? But I did not see that coming. But they got thoroughly dominated by Illinois. And I think, Layla, this is what you're seeing in college football is the Big Ten West is no longer going to be there in a couple years, which has kind of propped up programs like Iowa and Wisconsin, right? Because they make a Big Ten championship game, but they're really like the third or fourth best team in the Big Ten. And now you have USC and UCLA coming in, and there's so much money that, you know, a couple down years, maybe a down half of a season, and all of a sudden somebody can get fired. I mean, we have five Power Five coaches who are already fired going into the season, and it's pretty crazy. But, yeah, they think Jim Leonard is the guy, and they want to give him the opportunity to maybe create some momentum for that. But I also think they shouldn't count out Lance Leipold. So it's such a stable program that kind of move is rare, but they have a new athletic director in there. Maybe he wants to kind of throw his weight around. But for the first time, I mean, for a program like Illinois, you have Northwestern down, Nebraska down, Wisconsin down. This is a huge opportunity for them, Minnesota, Purdue, to really make some noise and maybe take advantage of some vulnerable programs that usually aren't vulnerable.
Jeremy, why are we seeing this success from year two from Brett Bielema?
They're well coached, Lawrence. They have a really good head coach. And I think we all had questions about Brett Bielema after the Arkansas failure, but kind of like the Big Ten now, I think the SEC, have one bad year, you're gone. That's kind of what happened with Brett Bielema. But I think they're getting the best version of him. And a much better version, Brett Bielema was a much better version than any coach they've had here recently, right? They had Ron Turner, who's a good offensive coach, but not a very good recruiter. So they go to the recruiter and Ron Zook, who's not the best coach. And then they decide, I don't know what they're thinking with Tim Beckman, but that happened. And they needed somebody of credibility. So they go to Lovie Smith, who's just not a college coach and made terrible hires on his staff. Brett Bielema hired good people. You're seeing that with Ryan Walters, one of the hot names as a defense coordinator. He's got the number one scoring defense. He makes a change after just 1 year because he knew his offensive coordinator wasn't working. So he decided, hey, I can't let this fester. I have to make a change. And Barry Lunney has come in and done a great job. I was told by somebody in the program, Lawrence, last week that he looked around the room in Lovie Smith's staff and didn't see a future head coach anywhere. He said now he looks around the room and sees maybe four or five guys who could eventually maybe be a head coach at some level, right? I think that says a lot about Brett Bielema. But, you know, they're very good fundamentally. And I will give Lovie Smith this. He has some talent. Guys like Johnny Newton and Keith Randall, who maybe not be household names now, but no defensive linemen are playing as well as those two guys right now. Devin Witherspoon's going to hear his name called probably in the first three rounds as a cornerback. You know, Kirby Joseph, who got drafted in the third round last year, those guys are being put in positions to succeed by this staff. And this is just what you see at Iowa. What you see at Wisconsin and really now at Minnesota is you get good schemes, an aggressive defensive scheme that just, you know, Lovie Smith kind of sat back in coverage, waited for other teams to make mistakes, which when you got the athletes in the NFL certainly can work. But when you don't have those athletes, you got to be aggressive. You got to force 18 to 22-year-old quarterbacks to think after the snap. Ryan Walters certainly does that. And then Barry Lunney is kind of a new evolution of, you know, you've seen Alabama, Nick Saban, you know, change their offensive scheme. That's what Brett Bielema has done. He still wants to run the ball, be physical, have those foundational principles. But Barry Lunney brings some tempo. He brings some, you know, spread kind of tendencies of screen passes, shovel passes, just different ways to get the ball in space. And you've seen a passing attack really grow. So that's a long-winded way of saying they have a really good coaching staff. I think this coaching staff, people at Iowa, people at Michigan, would be pretty happy with.
When Ryan Walters got that contract, he was one of the top 10 paid defensive coordinators in all of college football. They had a good defense last year. I think you're seeing him earn his money this year.
He's the first seven-figure coordinator in Illinois history. He's probably going to be the first one to make $1.5 million if he doesn't get a head coaching job. His alma mater, Colorado, just came up. I think Colorado's going to try and find a head coach, but Ryan Walters, I'm sure, will be interviewed for that. He's special. I've been around a lot of coordinators, a lot of good coaches, whether it's Illinois basketball, Illinois football, and he never ceases to impress me with the way he gets his message across, the way he explains the game to us in the media, but just the way his players respond to him as well. Because he's kind of a quiet confidence guy, but when he gets on the field, he's an uber competitor. But like I just said, like his scheme is aggressive. I mean, he is blitzing a lot. It's a multiple defense. I know some coaches say multiple defense all the time. He actually does it. Three-man front, four-man front, five-man. Like he's changing it. And, you know, you don't know whether he's running man-to-man or cover three, like the way he's able to do that. And then, you know, disguising things, but also just his ability to teach the fundamentals. Like his secondary, which he coaches safeties. Those guys are as well fundamentally as I've seen. So, yeah, he's going to be a future Power 5 coach, whether it's this year, next year, 2 years from now. But I think Illinois wants to keep him, and I think kudos to Josh Whitman. They were able to keep him around last year, not let a SEC program kind of steal him. They've invested in this program, and Ryan Walters is living proof of that.
And then I also want to point this out. In getting Tommy DeVito from the transfer portal, Brett Bielema made the joke about having a situation when he had two quarterbacks from New Jersey. But it speaks to, once the conference expands, you've got that Rutgers market there, and what happens to recruiting and the talent that you can get. You can't argue with the fact that it is hit for them, especially this season.
Yeah, I think Jersey, they got some connections there with their coaching staff. They play good football. You know, Jersey's kind of a Rust Belt place on the East Coast, and I think that mentality kind of seeps into the Midwest and into Illinois. And you know, Tommy DeVito and Art Sikowski, both quarterbacks, the top two quarterbacks, both stayed out east, right? Art went to Rutgers and Tommy went to Syracuse. But one of the reasons Tommy DeVito wanted to come to Illinois is because he knew he'd be protected. He knew the offensive line would be pretty good, and he knew he'd have a running attack. He didn't have those things at Syracuse. Now, I think Dino Babers is a really good quarterbacks coach. Like, look what he did with Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think Tommy is really enjoying those things. And the one thing Tommy brings that you think about Jersey, I mean, he's a Jersey kid through and through. Sounds like one, talks like one. His family is certainly that way as well. He brings a swagger that Illinois hasn't had at this position, on top of all the physical things. He's got a really quick release, really accurate, makes good decisions. You know, I've questioned since Nathan Shulhaus which Illinois quarterback lifts his team. When things are going bad, who can you count on? Who can you look to on the field to step up? And Tommy DeVito's that guy. He's just got a certain swagger to him that Illinois has lacked. And he stayed healthy, and him and Barry Lunney have been a great combination together, just making Illinois' passing attack competent to go alongside Chase Brown, who happens to be leading the country in rushing.
Jeremy, the Big Ten has been flexing its muscles because, like, they really, Kevin Warren with the timing on all of this and how Jim kind of left everything in a perfect place for the Big Ten to expand and make money. So I want to ask this question. I want to try and do it respectfully. Mm-hmm. Considering the amount of money that's coming into the Big Ten, and considering that now if you're a coach in some other conference, maybe you're thinking about putting your eyes on a Big Ten team, can Illinois make Brett happy if he has success, that there won't be any wanderlust or anyone that tries, maybe even inside of the conference, to try to get Brett away from Champaign?
I think it's a fair question, Lawrence. And I think Illinois fan base, Illinois dealt with some ticket issues this week of, can they sell out Memorial Stadium? I mean, you have a 4-1 team that if they win this game, they could be ranked. Illinois has lowered some prices. They just announced that. And, you know, 4-pack for $109 or whatever. I think Brett wants to see that. I think he wants to see the fan base come out and support. But I will tell you this. His athletic director is all in. Like Josh Whitman, you've seen it with basketball. Illinois basketball didn't have the resources they had, you know, 5, 10 years ago. There's some questions. How good does Illinois want to be here? He has put a lot of money into Brad Underwood, most importantly, Brad Underwood's staff and the facilities. They're making a $40 million new facility that's just opening up this month. Football, they just created an $80 million facility that Josh Whitman helped, you know, create here. The football staff, as I said, Ryan Walters making more money. This football staff is a competitive salary staff in the Big Ten. So, yes, I understand Nebraska's open. I don't think Wisconsin is going to happen, but, like, other schools will see Brett Bielema and say, hey, let's get him. I think Illinois will financially commit to Brett Bielema. And I do think Brett Bielema, I don't know if it's a home state thing, but this could be, if he gets it right at Illinois, he could be known as one of the best coaches ever at Illinois football. It won't take that much comparatively. If he does what Kirk Ferentz or Hayden Fry did at Iowa, he will be known, like he'll have statues here. Maybe they'll call it, you know, Brett Bielema Way on Kirby Avenue here. He's got that potential to be that in this place. And for this to be his lasting legacy in his home state rather than, right, being the guy who followed up Barry Alvarez and kind of wrote his coattails to some success. That really, I think Brett really is prideful, and I think that stuff matters to him. And he did that. Like, right, he went to Arkansas, and it didn't work out too well for him. He thought the grass could be greener. But one of the reasons he left is because he didn't have that financial commitment from Wisconsin to pay for his staff. He's got that right now at Illinois. So I think it's a fair question, fascinating question for the future, but I do think his AD is pretty all in on it.
All right, good. So that means that there's going to be – I'm waiting for the Illini Inquirer feature on Prophetstown. And you going down there and figuring
out. We did that. Yeah, I know. We did that when he was hired. We did that when he was hired. Yeah, no, Prophetstown, not much of a town there. But, man, that sells in south of I-80 here.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Man, it's always good to catch up with you. Let's talk again because things seem to be going well for Illini Athletics. So let's talk again soon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Jeremy Warner. Oh, by the way, the people on Twitch are 100% correct. I don't think that any guest that we've had, whether it's Bernstein and Rahimi, Bernstein and Holmes, Layla and Lawrence, has had a better video than Jeremy Warner had. His video on Twitch was crystal clear.
It is like HD quality.
Crystal clear.
And really evenly lit.
Yeah. That's what I like to
Cody
see.
Cody Decker has a nice background, but I don't think the camera is.
I'm just talking about video quality. Jeremy Warner from Illini Inquirer has everyone beat. Everyone, that is now the standard. Wait, should I have said that in front of Layla the Cylon? I'm not sure that I should have.
What? Listen, just because you want me to be the Cylon that's messing with your frequencies doesn't mean that I am.
That's exactly what a Cylon would say.
Not Rick Hahn. It's Rick Hahn. I don't know why that makes me laugh so much. And I'm like, what if it was just there the whole time? Like, I love hiding in plain sight.
I think that you
love that so much.
I think that you've started something, and you're gonna get a tweet from a bot, and you're gonna be like, oh, I wonder if that's Rick's burner that is tweeting me all these things about Rick Hahn.
We all need alter egos. The fact that Rick Hahn gets a lot of relievers isn't the worst thing.
I think that you started something now. I think whoever, that's a thing.
Whoever said the text line, the Rick Hahn traded for Sean Doolittle and during the milk conversation was my favorite.
Here's the crazy thing. Kenny Williams is always tagged with getting his man, no matter how long it takes, like getting Ken Griffey Jr. in a White Sox uniform.
Loyalty.
For Rick, it's specifically relievers. Like, it's just specifically, like, years from now, like, he got Gagne. I can't believe it.
Gagne. That's the second era Gagne mentioned in the show.
That's why.
I said Dellin Betances earlier. Like, do you have a lot of innings? Do we have a place for you?
It's in the back end of the White Sox bullpen with a 2-year deal. When we
Juan
come back,
Manaea, stand up!
Joe Kelly is going to make $8 million
from
the White Sox.
Rick Hahn is getting Juan Manaea back
next year. When we come back, we are going to go into Layla's notebook on the Bears, and we're going to talk
Notes about, app today. Notes app.
My bad. Notes app. But the idea of it is still the notebook,
yeah,
even though it's in the notes app. And we're also here some more breakdown of Justin Fields. We will do that next. Bernstein and Holmes, Lawrence and Layla here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
What I like about having Layla here on Wednesdays, other than like her friendship and company and sense of humor.
Fine. Those things aren't important anymore. What if I'm Wreck Layla? Did you ever think about that concept?
I did not think about that. Is she the nemesis or partner in the alternate universe with Wreck Han?
Wait. Nemesis, obviously.
Yes. Because if it's an alternate universe, then they could actually partner up on stuff.
What fun is that?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, so you can be the nemesis, but what I like about
every pitcher goes 9 innings.
I actually am really enjoying what's happening on Twitch, and I hope that it starts to happen on the text lines now of relievers that Rick Hahn is going or Rec Hahn is going to add. And here's the thing: it has to be old relievers.
Zach Britton is available. He's on the 60-day, by the way.
Perfect.
Exactly.
That's perfect. 2-year deal. Just give him a 2-year deal. Get his baseball information and get him out there. But what I like is that Dan and I are doing all this granular stuff when it comes to the Bears on Monday and Tuesday. It's nice to get a different point of view from the game that we saw on Monday with you on Wednesday. So what did you take away from their loss to the Giants?
I'm still trying to find what Texter said. It was Sean Doolittle and somebody else that he traded for in like a 2-minute span. All right.
Corey Kniebel.
Corey Knebel, thank you. All right, a couple of notes that I have here from my notes app, which is not my notebook, but it was just going to have to do. There were still issues with point of attack tackling.
Yes.
And I know you guys have talked about a lot of this stuff, but I've been in a lot of meetings before work this week, and we have a lot of preparation for the marathon. So
Layla is going to be broadcasting the marathon for NBC5, by the way. So if you're watching, if you're up with the runners, Layla will be there breaking it all down.
And I think that there's no question when it comes to doing the job that we all know him to do, Eddie Jackson is still getting the job done. Like, you cannot argue with his turnover production.
I thought that he tackled well on Sunday.
I hope it makes him happy. But there were tackles initially on those first two drives where he missed point of attack tackles. So he was not the only one, though, by the way. And I
dear God, no, he was not the only one.
No, and like, I know we're hopeful about Morrow, but like, do you really, that the Giants got all the mismatches they wanted. We've talked a lot about just creating matchups, and typically we're talking about basketball, but in this case, when you look at how opposing offenses have attacked the Bears' defense, who they're going after, it's especially glaring when half of your secondary are rookies. And then you have an injury situation that causes guys like Kendall Vildor to be in a bad place for their personal skill set out on the field. We can all agree on that, yes?
Yes.
What are you laughing about over there?
Paul Ossenmacher.
All right, we're getting somewhere.
Sergio Romo.
Nobody's topping Juan Manaea. Like, Rekhan trading back for Juan Manaea is my peak.
Rob Dibble, Randy Myers.
No, I'm not running.
Nasty Boys.
I'm not running the marathon. I'm anchoring the marathon. Rich Hill and Kyle Farnsworth.
Tiago Vera.
Yes, I love this so much.
The Jamie Moyer thing is pretty funny.
He's over 50.
He was pitching until he was, what, 47?
49.
49? Was that the last year? Was that with the Rangers?
No, it was with the Rockies.
God, that's bad. Marmol?
Carlos Marmol. This is so good. I'm not, guys, I'm not running the marathon. I'm anchoring. Anchoring. It's on NBC5 from 7 to 11. And we have an extra broadcast that we're going to do online and on our Fast channel. That's on Peacock. It streams where you can see people you know cross the finish line as well afterward.
Yeah, I don't think anyone from the Odyssey family is running it. Josh Liss, I believe, has run it before. he's also very fast. I've been in 5Ks and 8Ks, and I'll see Josh at the starting line, and then I'll be huffing and puffing, and he's been like, "Hey, bud, how long you been here, Josh?" "Oh, 20 minutes.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It's very
fast. My buddy
fast.
John Solimasi, who you know.
Solly, my running. Man!
Yeah. Shout out to John. Okay, so here's a couple things. Like, number one, I love that we can talk about Justin Fields in the way we are and try to be critical of passing, and I understand that that comes with the territory. But when the man is sacked 5 times in the first half, and going into the Texans game, I don't think that changed with the Giants. He's pressured the most on his dropbacks of any other quarterback in the National Football League. Let's slow our respective role on everything else. It's why I asked Tim Jenkins about pre-snap assignments. Who is sliding coverages? Who is in charge of protections? Who is doing what pre-snap? Especially when Lucas Patrick, who is trusted to be this team's center, is now playing a different position. Is that the natural position for Sam Mustipher? Whose responsibility is it in the offense? Is it the center's? Because if so, you've got a guy playing out of position, so these questions have to be asked. Additionally, from a blocking standpoint, why is it that every time I saw Fields complete passes, there had to have been some sort of guard-center double-team combo there on the left side? That is not ideal. The two of them need to be able to handle one individual easily when it comes to a down lineman rushing. You want me to go on?
Yes, you got another 60 seconds.
All right, slides still look bad. That was something that we were concerned about.
Still a little too baseball slidey.
Unfortunately, I think you guys touched on this. Kyler Gordon had a terrible game.
And he is going to continue to get picked on.
He extended an entire scoring drive by himself in penalty yards, and that's just not what you need to have happen. There was a face mask, by the way, on Equanimeous St. Brown that wasn't called.
That is true.
I don't understand why the broadcast didn't talk about that. I don't understand why nobody else saw it. It was painfully obvious. So when people are talking about Justin Fields throwing the ball somewhere receivers can't catch, I don't know what you're supposed to do about that problem either. Also, Wani said something to me that I think is important. For offensive rhythm's sake, take 2 shots each half. We all know I love shots, but this time I'm talking about shots downfield.
Shots, shots, shots,
alcohol,
shots, shots, shots.
Vaccine, shots downfield. All of these play. I am
Everybody.
Pro all of these things. So take your 2 shots downfield because you can catch defenses sleeping and get your chunk plays that way.
That is Layla Rahimi going into the notebook to talk about the Bears. We are going to take a break, and you know why?
Oh, wait, one more thing.
Sure.
The reason why they bit on bootleg so much was because Saquon Barkley is who they had to defend.
And they clearly had that as their note.
Dalvin Cook, don't be scared of him.
You should be scared of everything the Vikings have on offense.
They should be, but here's the problem. We thought Kirk Cousins was going to eat everybody's lunch the day the Bears were running you and I out there at secondary when everybody had COVID. And how many yards did Justin Jefferson get that day? Like 12? It was something paltry and bad.
How about this? Look this up, and you can do this at home. Look up Kirk Cousins' splits for noon starts.
But don't check out Monday night because it'll give you false confidence. 6-3-0, my preferred shot is all.
We're going to talk. We'll ask Russ Dorsey that question as we continue to work through the dating show that we're going to put him on. We will do that next here on The Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.